This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9. Now, 7:48 in the morning, we've got the CMCO in Selangor, KL and Putrajaya kicking off yesterday with a ban on interstate travel, except for work and emergencies. The fortnight will also see a ban on social and religious gatherings and schools and universities to be shut.
However, factories can still run their productions and malls, as well as eateries can still open in hopes that the economic recovery in Malaysia has been going, does not stall, however. But will this two-week CMCO have a significant impact on Malaysia's quarter four recovery?
To explain this, we've got on the line with us Wellen Wiranto, the economist at OCBC Bank. Wellen, will this fortnight of MCMCO have a significant impact on the economic recovery for Malaysia?
Well, good morning. Well, the backdrop was this. Obviously, Q2 was when we had really bad contraction, 17% contraction in GDP. Since then, you saw quite a bit of recovery since starting from Q3, and obviously we're now into Q4. I think we don't have the official of Q3 GDP print for another month, but judging from some of the higher frequency indicators, things have indeed looked better. On the external front, we saw exports recovering very significantly. On the domestic end, we also have seen data such as credit card purchases, car sales recovering quite sharply in the month on July, August, for instance. So overall, we're looking at a growth of -4% to -4.5% for Q3. So obviously still carrying the big negative sign in front in year-on-year terms, but much, much better than what we saw in depths of Q2. So it is quite a pity that such momentum might be curtailed by the virus outbreak and also the necessary policy response in the form of CMCO.
Is it too early for me to ask you whether you're going to have to adjust your GDP numbers as a result of this CMCO? Because we do know Klang Valley is 40% of Malaysia's economy, right?
Indeed. Selangor itself is already almost one quarter, obviously at KL, and also in this instance, Sabah is affected as well. So the short answer is yes. We probably have to relook at numbers. We're looking at 0% for Q4. So we're hoping for things to start so-called breaking even by year end, putting the momentum on a better keel going to 2021. But it is potentially likely that we're going to have to revise the Q4 number down. I would say that it will never be as sharp as Q2, touch wood, because at the end of the day, we're dealing with CMCO. There's a conditional part in front. It's the different story from the MCO that Malaysia and Malaysians also have to go through starting from late March and early April. I would say in terms of economic growth, those were the dark days. Factories couldn't open and malls were shut. So we're dealing with a slightly better environment at this point. Hopefully it stays that way. And also there's hope that with the 2 weeks of CMCO, more restrictions in place in the Klang Valley area and also in Sabah, we are able to get the curve to flatten again. I think Malaysians have obviously done it before. Hopefully we can do it again.
Yeah, Wellen, are you concerned that the spike in cases and this fortnight will have an impact on consumption and both consumer and business confidence, sentiment essentially?
The short answer is yes. There's obviously the direct effect of the conditional restriction orders considered. The silver lining, like I mentioned, is that economic activities can remain open a bit with social restrictions. So factories, obviously, Selangor is industrial powerhouse, right? So anything that keeps the factories open, we're glad that happens. The less ideal situation, obviously, is the fact that a lot of activities are curtailed from schools to universities to social and religious gatherings, etc. So those things might not have a direct effect on the economy per se, but would inevitably hit consumer sentiment, also business sentiment. It's natural, for instance, for you and me and the listeners to now think to themselves whether they're as comfortable going out to malls, to crowded places as before, with or without restrictions. So just because the number of cases itself, hence also the potential contagion for catching the virus, also relatively higher now than before. It's human nature. So depending on how long this period of being watchful of virus contagion lasts, And obviously, also depending on how long the official guidance of CMCO lasts, we might see bigger hits to Q4 growth.
And looking at things a little bit more broadly, right? What do you think are the weak points in the economy? Is it still the sectors that were most impacted by COVID-19, like hospitality, aviation? And I'm sure the CMCO derails this even more.
That's right. Those would be the weakest points in the economy. Obviously, the sectors would take a while to recover. It would take not only, I would say, the discovery of vaccine, but you need the vaccine to be broadly distributed, broadly adopted by not just Malaysians, but also people around the world for this thing called the travel industry to achieve any sort of normalcy anytime soon. That's unfortunate. So you have sectors such as the hospitality, aviation that you mentioned, probably take another year to recover from here. And we don't even know yet what kind of new equilibrium we're going to see at the point of recovery. So more broadly, however, I'll say that other sectors of the economy can and have indeed shown signs of getting back to some kind of normalcy a bit earlier. Manufacturing sector, for instance, important part of the Malaysian economy, is a big contributor to employment as well. This sector has started to recover more forcefully, given its ties to exports, as long as continue to see a relatively good pace of global demand recovery, however choppy, that should help to tide things over. So very few things are still going to be fully normal like before, to be sure, but let's take what we can get at this point.
Yeah, William, in the short term, do you see the government announcing any fiscal measures to help the economy, like wage subsidies, government programs, more cash handouts? What do you think?
Obviously, we're looking at the budget 2021 earnestly. It's going to be tabled in Parliament early November if it goes to plan. I think that's likely to stay expansionary compared to, say, the 5.8 to 6% of GDP budget deficit this year. The 2021 deficit may be reduced slightly to show that the government remains keen on fiscal consolidation, but it's not going to be cut that much. I think just because growth momentum remains quite weak and needs all kinds of support it can get. So looking at deficit 5.5%, within that umbrella, spending measures would likely to remain targeted, helping those that need the most help. I think cash handouts to the poorer segments of population, that's not new. I think every budget will see that, but we'll probably see more newer lease of life just because things have been tough. And unlike years before, I would say we probably see cash handouts more directly to the middle class segments as well. They've been hit quite badly by the economic crisis due to unemployment or at the very least some wage cuts here and there. So some form of wage subsidy programs are likely to continue. At the end of the day, protecting jobs and keeping businesses open such that the bosses don't have to make the tough unenviable choice of letting go workers, that much would be very, very important as well.
And one last question for Ms. William. I want to ask you, and we've noticed this private investment in Malaysia, be it local and foreign, has been declining in the last 10 years. What can the government do to actually encourage this?
I think obviously there's a few things in terms of broadening the kind of investment, attractiveness. Malaysia's always been very good at attracting, say, FDI into specific pockets. We look at Penang, for instance, where the high-tech sector has been performing very well, partly because of where we are in the global cycle as well, partly because of the global trade wars, environment, a lot of people looking to relocate out of China. I think Malaysia can probably do better in terms of attracting FDI into other segments of industries, not just the tech sector. So probably we might see some incentives, including the budget 2021 that I mentioned earlier, in terms of maybe some kind of minor tax holidays for specific sectors that they try to welcome in. At the end of the day, like I mentioned earlier, creating jobs, protecting jobs, making sure people are employed and continue to be able to support their family and service the loans, etc. Those things take on even more importance now than before.
Okay, William, thanks so much for your time. That's William Wiranto, an economist at OCBC Bank. And I've just pulled up the economic forecast page on the Bloomberg. And for the full year, Malaysia's consensus forecast for GDP is around about minus 4.9%. And that puts us at the lower end of the region's median. I think the worst hit is expected to be Philippines at minus 7.7, and Thailand at minus 7.2, and Hong Kong at minus 7.0, and obviously Malaysia at 4.9, negative 4.9, puts us at the lower end. The best, I think, performer might be China, 2.1% growth for the year. That's interesting for them. And then 1% for Taiwan, which is interesting for them as well.
They're an electronics powerhouse, right?
That's
and tech
right.
has been doing really well. And Taiwan, I think, has done the best in terms of controlling the COVID-19 virus,
cool.
right?
Yeah.
Their numbers are, if any, are single digit. So kudos to them. So I think the North Asian economies are definitely going to be doing well. But countries like Indonesia, Philippines, Philippines particularly, because there's no more remittances. Those are the pain points we feel. Singapore is also going to be down 6%. They are a very, very open economy, very dependent on global trade and services.
Absolutely. So it's now 7:58. We'll come back after this with the 8 o'clock news. Then after that, Xiaoneng, you talk to Cormac O'Rourke of the JTI Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.